Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your name. It's Jesus all the time. You're the reason we're here. We thank you, Jesus, for your great love and your grace to your people. And now, Lord, we're waiting for a word from you, and we believe you have an answer. So attune our hearts to the Holy Spirit so that we can hear and we can respond. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. The title of our message for this morning, Seeking Answers from the Dark Side. Seeking Answers from the Dark Side. The writer and poet Thoreau says, we live lives of quiet desperation. We live lives of quiet desperation. And I'm sad to give you this example of such. The Center for Responsible Lending has estimated that American families spend at least $5.5 billion a year in excess fees to the payday lending company. The most tragic part about that is that those who serve in the military seems to be most at risk from such a group. Thoreau was right when he said, we live lives of quiet desperation. When that Navy petty officer stationed at Subbase, Georgia, in a five-month period, spent $7,000 in interest and paid not 1 cent on the $1,900 principal, something's wrong. The Army specialist at Fort Stewart, Georgia, who borrowed $1,500 for car repairs, paid back $3,000. And the Navy captain says, the last thing that you want is for a young sailor programming a Tomahawk missile in the Persian Gulf, worrying about his car being repossessed. The scenario goes like this from those payday lending places. You write a post-dated check for $300, and they give you cash for $255 in cash. That's a $45 fee for 2 weeks. And that doesn't sound that bad, does it? Until you figure up that it's 400% interest. And by chance, you can't pay it off. And you face the fact that you will have multiple bounced checks and possible legal action. So in order to avoid default, and you pay another $45 fee. And every 2 weeks, until you pay that off, you pay another $45 fee, never paying off the $255. And they say that the people who use this service use it at least 5 times a year. We live lives of quiet desperation. That's the dirty little secret that the military doesn't like to talk about. And recently, they tried to deal with that. Some of those in the higher-ups tried to deal with that. And I know, having served, that they do try to give counsel. But when you're in a desperate situation, you find that you'll do just about anything if you're not careful. I talked about fear 2 weeks ago, but now I'm talking about desperation. You may have heard the term used in sports, last second desperation shot. And we think always of that shot going in. But life is not like that. most of those desperation shots do not go in. And we do not win the game. And surprisingly, being in desperate situations is nothing new. The scripture that was read so well, thank you, Evan, 1 Samuel chapter 28, we find the first king of Israel in a desperate situation. And guess what he does? He seeks answers from the dark side. Can you believe that? A historic figure like that, the first president of Israel, Saul, what does he do? He seeks answers. He does what he never thought he would do. Throws up a desperation shot. Like I say, it's rare that they go in. He sought answers from the dark side. Something that he would kill others for, he now finds himself doing. He knew Deuteronomy 18 and verse 10. It said we should not have enchanters or witches and witchcraft. We shouldn't have charmers and familiar spirits in Deuteronomy 18 and verse 11. We shouldn't have wizards or necromancy, those who study, those who consult the dead. The Bible says that they should not even be in the midst of us. In fact, verse 12 of Deuteronomy 18 says it's an abomination to the Lord. But here we have the first king. That would be like George Washington going and consulting with a medium. Seeks answers from the dark side. We live lives of quiet desperation. And I would say to you this afternoon that seeking answers from the dark side is dangerous to your spiritual health. In fact, it's very dangerous. We may not think there's any harm in horoscopes and tarot cards and channeling and fortune telling, but God forbids it. Galatians 5 and 19 through 20 and Exodus 22 and verse 18. In fact, it mentions in Exodus, calls it the curious arts. Death to those who practice it. We live in a world of quiet desperation. I find it striking that in that passage of 1 Samuel chapter 28, start from verse 1 and you can read on. Interesting that Saul was to kill all of those who practiced this, but when it came time in a desperation for him to seek answers, he could find someone practicing it. He could find a witch. He had no trouble finding someone who was not supposed to be there. We do not live in a neat, clean little world. And I think you should do everything in your power to have positive influences for your family. But if you think that there's no negativity, and it'll never touch them and they'll never find it, you are mistaken. There's plenty of the dark side out there for them. Time magazine, in its recent magazine, had quite a bit about the United States reaching 300 million people. I was intrigued by the facts that went along with it. It said that now we are the third most populous nation on the earth, but we are only 5% of the world's population. You missed that. We're the third most populous nation on the earth now with 300 million, but we are only 5% of the world's population. There's a lot of folk out there that are not Americans. Oh, I know you didn't want to hear that. There's a whole lot of folk out there that are not Americans. And they ask the question, what do we believe? And so 8% of men in our nation and 18% of women believe that astrologers, palm readers, tarot card readers, fortune tellers, and psychics can foresee the future. You missed that. You went right on to sleep when I said that. The devil took the fan and just waved you and you went to sleep. Did you hear what I said? 8% of the men of a nation of 300 million and 18% of the women believe that psychics and all of that group can predict the future. That's significant. 24% of the believers in this nation believe that God is a distant God who does not interact with the world. 24%. 16% believe, and I believe some of them are here, 16% believe that God is just a critical God who does not really interact with us. Help us, Lord. And I read, and I went on one site, I'll tell you, I went on a website. I didn't go very far. But I went, and it says, welcome to the site of Selena the Psychic. And I told our Selena here in our church, I knew it wasn't her. Welcome to the professional psychic. Within these pages is an opportunity to explore the mysteries of the natural world on all affairs of life. From the crystal ball to tarot cards, palm readings to fortune telling, you can learn about your past, present, and future by utilizing our assortment of supernatural gifts and intuitions. Let me help you obtain love, marriage, wealth, or any other achievable goal you seek. And I'm available 24 hours, 7 days a week for your convenience. We got a little competition out there, don't we? We look for answers from Dr. Phil and Oprah and Larry King and Fox and Fox and Fox. Maybe CNN, Cousin Vinny, neighbors, books, newspapers, and the internet. Now we have the first king of Israel consulting a witch. I was going to talk about Halloween. There were some good ideas that came up in Sabbath school. I think Jim Norton had a good idea about having some little friends, putting a treat there and just wrapping it up as they come to your door, sharing that. And I know Michael had a good idea, had a happiness digest. and a thing of Orvin Redenbacher's gourmet popcorn. Y'all know y'all like that. And putting that in their bag. And I started today, when I originally started to make this sermon up, I was going to talk about Halloween. But why talk about Halloween? We're not going to get tripped up by Halloween. I was going to talk about ghosts and goblins, but I don't have it. I'm not worried about ghosts and goblins. They don't bother me. So I said, I'm not talking about Halloween. The devil's not going to trip us up with Halloween. Not us. We're not going to have any issues. It's just candy companies making a lot of money. But I will ask you this question. Is it possible to seek answers from the dark side and not know it? Yeah, I agree. Teresa, I agree. I think we... And it's interesting how the devil works. In Matthew chapter 4... Everyone knows Matthew chapter 4, the temptation of Jesus. Devil first comes and says, turn these stones into bread when Jesus was hungry. Remember that? Matthew chapter 4, you know the story. But it's interesting, he goes on, and guess what he says? Bow down to me. Worship me. I'm just amazed at how many issues revolve around worship. What do you say, Fallbrook? You know what I'm talking about. How many issues revolve around worship? And boy, do we have issues in this church revolving. I know you didn't want me to say this. We like to hide. Folk, I'm not a hider. You got the wrong pastor. I don't hide. We have so many issues revolving around worship. So you guess where the devil will attack us. Why are we surprised? Worship. Jesus tries to help us and let us know that we have to be careful, because we haven't seen anything yet. How do I know? Turn just to the scripture and then I'm going to close. Revelation chapter 16, verse 13. Just got to see this passage. If you don't have it underlined, you need to underline it. Revelation chapter 16. And I saw three unclean. Now, you don't even have to know anything or know anything about the text, but unclean doesn't sound good. Wouldn't you agree? Can we all agree on that? Unclean doesn't sound good. I saw three unclean, what everybody? Spirits. It's not Holy Spirit either. Revelation 16 and verse 13. I saw three unclean spirits like frogs coming out of the mouth of the dragon. Dragon doesn't sound that good either. Wouldn't you agree? Coming out of the mouth and out of the mouth of the beast and out of the mouth of the false prophet. Any of them sound good? Huh? I mean, without knowing anything, I know we people say you can't understand Revelation. Just use common sense. Unclean, and it names them. They don't sound good. Now listen. You got to get this. For they are the spirits. What does it say, everybody? Is it your Bible either says demons or devils? Either one, neither one of them sound like anything I want to be connected with. How about you? The spirit of demons, devils. Listen, now you can't miss this. Which go out to the little guy on the corner. Come on. Help me, Jesus. Go out to the local pastor. That's what it says, right? Go out to the associate pastor. Is that what it says? Go out to the who? Kings sound important. King is not a little person. King is an important person. I declare that when things get desperate, you'll find that people will do things they never thought they would do. I remember just a few years ago that the word came out that one of our president's wives was consulting mediums. Y'all remember that, right? You remember when they reported that about Nancy Reagan? Not too long afterwards, we found out that one of the other president's wives, Hillary Clinton, was seeking counsel from the spirit of Eleanor Roosevelt. Those are the two that come to mind. I would venture to say they were not by themselves. I have no proof, but I know in desperate situations, people will do things they never thought they would do. And they will seek counsel. When I served as a chaplain in the military, we did a lot of counseling. People would come to me for counseling, but you know what they came to me for? They did not come seeking answers. And in fact, when I gave them answers, and if it didn't jive with their thinking, the session was over. They came because they wanted me to agree with them. Once I didn't, and the session was over, because they really did not come seeking answers. I want to read something to conclude this message. It comes from the book Great Controversy. Satan has long been preparing for his final effort to deceive the world. The foundation of his work was laid in Eden. You know where he laid that foundation with the text? Ye shall not surely die. In the day you eat thereof, your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And little by little he has prepared the way for his master deception in the development of spiritualism. You know, I thought it had subsided I know some of you don't have television. I have a TV. Okay? I mean, I do. Most of the stuff I don't watch, but I do know what is on there. But I followed the trends, and I thought it had subsided. I'm here to tell you, it has not subsided. In fact, it's gotten greater than ever. And I agree, Janice, you certainly better pay attention to what your children are watching. Because when a desperate situation comes up, and they've been watching all that garbage, they're going to go either two places. They're going to go to Jesus, or they're going someplace else. And folk, you want them to go to Jesus. If not, you want them to go to Jesus. When Jesus was confronted, when he found himself in what appeared to be a desperate situation, here comes the devil. Folks, you had to be very careful. Be careful. This is just some good advice. Be careful about getting yourself always in desperate situations. Be it dealing with your finance, dealing with your love relationships. Come on now. Getting with somebody that you know you oughtn't be with. You don't have to say amen, but it's the truth. You find yourself in desperate situations. You know people marry people they had no business marrying. Oh, I know I'm getting into deep water. First of the year, I'm going to do a whole series on family and relationships, but that's not what this was about. But people get in situations because of being desperate. They do things that they never knew they should not have done, find themselves in situations, and things don't work out. And they throw up the desperation shot, call the wedding, and it doesn't work out. Be careful. Be careful about getting yourselves in desperate situations. Guess how Jesus handled a situation that appeared to be desperate. It is written. Man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. You know, we should never. Somebody let me know that this morning. And I happen to believe that individual was right. There's some decisions we shouldn't make until we've really prayed about that and really consulted God. I agree. But the cat's out now, so be it. But we shouldn't find ourselves in desperate situations. We should be so close to God that the situations do not catch us unaware. May the Lord help us as we get counsel, as we hear from people. Would you just say, I'm going to pray about it first? Is that all right? When you hear stuff and you don't have all of the stuff, you don't have the whole picture, would you just say, I'm going to pray about it? I'm going to consult God first. Sounds safe to me. I don't know about you. Sounds safe to me. Let's pray before I go out of the sermon realm. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you. That even though this world appears to be just getting counsel from the dark side, we're thankful that there are people who reside in the light. We're thankful that there are people that consult you in every single thing. They wouldn't think of moving without your guidance. Lord, we thank you that you are there. Lord, help us to lean on you, to consult you, to pray to you, to seek answers. From heaven itself. And in all of that, when blessings and victory come, we're going to be careful to give you the praise, because we ask it in Jesus' name.